I look at the quality of decisions made in a range of industries and the exposure of, you know, things that needed to be exposed across a range of industries and government in this city. And each of those industries at some point will suffer now as a direct result of these decisions being made. Why? Because the quality of exposure of opportunity in news or finding out about, you know, threats and that sort of thing is just been significantly cut, and that's got to be a tragedy. It's got to be a tragedy. These have got broader implications than just people losing their jobs.
It doesn't matter what your background is, if you have listened and loved any of the radio stations, any of the personalities on it, you invested in this, and John Brennan, again, look, bit of a visionary in the radio industry, because not many saw it like this. He saw that there were two kind of shareholders in the radio station, and there were the people who put their money up, and there were people who put their time up, and there were the listeners. And we didn't have success for monetary shareholders if we didn't have success with time shareholders, and vice versa. And I think if we become too focused on, if I'm going to say something I probably loosely disagree with, but if we become too focused on just the business of the whole thing, the listeners are going to piss off. The listeners are going to go somewhere else. But I don't even have to be too principled about it, because that's the story of TUE. They have become too focused on trying to save the decaying model that the listeners have departed. And the fools that let Alan Jones, who was born on TUE.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
mate.
Alan Jones, and I would say this with some affection, and he would tell me I was an idiot, but if he showed up today with a tape and said, I'd like a job on radio, people would laugh.
Yeah.
They'd say, no way, sorry, that's not how you do it.
Yeah.
But he rewrote the book because he brought a style, a manner and an intellect to it and whatever else, and he wouldn't get a crack today in this era. And I think the tragedy of that is that it's because the kind of people making the decisions would say, does he have a TV show? Does he have a profile? How many followers do he have on Twitter? Does he have a manager?
Will he laugh at my jokes?
Well, yes. And will he fall into line?
Yeah,
and, you know, the best thing about Alan is that, you know, he's kind of unmissable, because even if you don't like him, there is this intrigue about where he's going today, what he's going after. But the thing that's best about him is just because he works for someone doesn't mean they own him. Just because he's associated with something doesn't mean that they have him forever. And, you know, we're talking about Alan because I guess he's at the top of the tree, but I'd like to think there's been a generation, and I truly hope I'm considered one of them, a generation of people who have been part of that thinking that, you know, there's a huge separation of powers in media. And the separation of powers is the people who write the stuff and speak the stuff, they're doing it for what's right and what's truthful and what needs to be done. And then there's another group of people that are trying to make the business work behind the scenes to keep those people doing what they do. And the great organisations, and, you know, this week a fellow called Gordon Moyes died. Gordon Moyes was a good friend of mine. He was the chairman of 2GB. For a long time, and people knew him as Reverend Gordon Moyes. I knew him as Gordon because we never talked about religion. But Gordon ran that joint, and one of the things Gordon did is he made sure there was a huge physical gap between editorial and commercialism. They weren't on separate floors. There was a kind of unspoken rule that one didn't go into the other. And there was a good reason for that, because he respected the separation, you know, for want of a better cliche, between church and state. And that, you know, there aren't many people who think like that in the media world anymore. There are a lot of people that kind of see shades of grey, and, you know, we witnessed a bit of it. You witnessed a lot of it, but I witnessed a bit of it at TUE and with Fairfax. And you know, 2GB is probably the last joint in town where...
Mate, I'm going to stop you there for a sec, Jase, because you and I know, and this is an oblique reference, but it's spot on the money as to what you're talking about. That bloke, Graham Mott, when they were going through the machinations with Gillard and me, Mott said to me, don't you realise what the government can do with our licence? Don't you realise what you're doing? the threats that they could carry through. This place is for sale, and the sale is contingent on the fit and proper person test administered by the government. And here you are agitating them.
Yeah, well, I think that diminishes him substantially, really, and I'm surprised more people in the business don't know about that, because that's extraordinary. You know, I mean, the kind of people that I've worked for and who I've admired are the people who, if someone said that in that meeting, would say, F government.
Exactly, exactly the point. Exactly.
It doesn't matter. What we're here for is what's right.
Yep. And that's probably why you and I have this downward tone in our voice today, and why this decision, it's reflective, mate, because what it means is that the dickheads whose imaginations are limited by certainties and things like, well, if I cut that, you know, have a look at my maths, is it right? If I shut down the TUE newsroom, do I actually save that much? Yeah, you do. Beauty. Well, I'll do that because that'll look good. That's the tragedy.
Well, yeah, mate. I don't know. I don't know who's making what decision, but I know whatever decision's being made is not being made easily. It's being made because there's probably, business-wise, not many other answers.
Jase, I couldn't disagree more. There's always a range of, you know, you show me one way, not I can't do it that way. Okay, well, I'll find 10 ways that we can do it, and the proposition that the market of 5 million people getting around in motor cars in Sydney is incapable of supporting those two. Jesus, Webb, mate.
100% with you. Yeah.
And what a simpleton's easy arithmetic. Oh, I'll never come unstuck doing this because it's provable financially. You can see it easily in a financial projection that you save that amount of money by sacking that number of people. Without the consideration of the broader implications, my God. What have we become?
Yeah, but you know the termites got into the building a long time ago.
You're right. You're dead right.
I mean, it'd be easy to say I blame this guy today, mate. You've mentioned a few names.
Yeah, that's me. I publish it too.
and that to me, you know, I mean, listen to that Don McLean song the other day. The day the music died. The music died. These stations a long time ago, and it died not because, I mean, look, okay, let's talk about John Singleton for a second.
Yeah.
Now, John Singleton, back in about 95, 96, decided that 2GB was broke.
Yeah.
He just merged UE and CH together. He decided that 2GB was essentially broke. It couldn't sustain a newsroom. So he came to a fixed cost arrangement with 2WS to provide news for 2GB. Mate, I was there, and I was hired by 2WS. I replaced three people, basically. And I mate, I'll tell you what, I've never worked harder in my life because I was doing crime and state courts. You know, hard to do in a big city. Now, Singo realised, because what happened is when he started doing this, the station got less and less competitive. There was less reason to do this. We're taking news from a kind of level two source as opposed to a level one source. And he actually put his hands up. He said, right, I admit it, you know, and I remember the conversation, you know, I'm effing wrong, you're effing right. And he put the news back together. And I remember him calling us together and his then bosses, and he put $1 million on the table and said, that's all you got. So find a way, but that's all you got. $1 million, and I had to hire staff.
Find a way. What a great phrase.
Find a way. Singo, that was exactly it. Now, he saw the errors of his way. So I would suggest, and I'm only guessing because I've got no insight, that he would not be pressuring for this because one thing I know he loves, and that is the traditions, and he loves what's always been a part of Sydney, and he would feel a bit, I would think a bit about
it. Just the thought that this poxy idea came from Singo, it doesn't pass the bloody, you know, logic, common sense test.
Matey,
the idea, one thing you learn in doing mergers and acquisitions in business is there's no mergers. Everything's an acquisition one way or another. There's one dominant side, right? And this is Fairfax. Fairfax has got the dominant share. Fairfax is running the show. And this is a Fairfax move. It's in their bloody corporate strategy plans everywhere. Synergize, extract synergies, extract, you know, and their whole idea is, you know, last one out, turn the lights off. I mean, they're selling today's profit-making businesses. Their growth strategy is what? Migrate to digital. What the friggin' hell does that mean? No bastard knows what that means. People don't think in their lives, oh, my God, I want more digital. People think, I want news. I want to read good stories. I want to see good things on the television. I want to hear great things on the radio. And that's just been cut in half today in respect to news for Sydney. That's just terrible.
Well, you can only hope for the sake of the business and for the readers and listeners that we are wrong and they are right, because if it's the other way around, it's a pretty shit future. And it's not good for the democracy. It's not good for all of the things that we've kind of always... I mean, I remember my very first day in the business, someone said to me, and I think it might have been a fellow called Russell Powell, he said to me that the job of a journalist, I think I'd gone out and covered a story and done a really shit job of it, and basically come back and done the PR blurb. And he said, the job of a journalist is to be the early warning system. You're the early warning system. You've got to be the bullshit detector. You've got to be the judge and jury almost on the spot, making the decision about who the good guy and the bad guy is and everything like that. Your job is to be the early warning system. And it's always been in my head every time I do something and I think, should I be harder, should I be softer? Your job is to be the early warning system.
Yeah.
And, you know, Australia is suffering because